All right, My Muscle Project, welcome back to another episode. Welcome back to the YouTube viewers on the video version of the podcast. We've got quite a wide angle. You can see my quads. It's only time my quads
look bigger than yours. We just fit
in. Yeah. So, we're in studio today, obviously, and we've got a few things coming up, a couple of announcements, which is always exciting. So, as of the last hour, we have officially planned a USA trip. Now, I know we're tossing it up in the air. There were a few things that we weren't really sure about that we couldn't really commit to for just logistical reasons, but we've decided to go for May 3rd to 17th. So, that is our US trip. We are going to potentially hit the East Coast of America. So, there's lots of different opportunities and new people out there that we're hoping to connect with. We'll be traveling to Texas as well. So, some cool opportunities there. So, very exciting for the trip. It's going to be our biggest one yet. I think last year's was just different to what we expected. I'd say that because we only went to Training Think Tank and then we also only had a small sort of detour in Miami, we weren't able to go there and just podcast like we did in 2016. Was it 16?
Yeah, 16 was like a real tour.
Yeah.
Because we were doing two a day. Sometimes three a day,
yeah.
But also doing like 6 hours of driving in a day.
Mate, that was...
So, it was like it was six till 10 every day.
Yeah.
And that's what we're hoping to replicate.
Yeah. So, big tour. Very excited for it. So, today we're going to also announce... well, it's actually been announced, but it's officially... What's today? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. 3 days out from the 10,000 calorie challenge for us individually and overall the 1 million... calorie challenge. So, in order to hit 1 million calories, we need at least 100 people to hit 10,000 calories. So, in order to do that, we have a sign-up link. You can go to the mymuscleproject.com/challenge if you want to join us on this disgusting,
glorious,
self-hated adventure of food and dining. So, what we've done is we've worked with Matt from Beyond Macros. He's set out like meal plans. He's got like a dirty one and kind of like a cleaner one and a video explaining kind of how you can approach the day. And really, we just want people to kind of hit it on the weekend. And if we, you know, by the end of Sunday, have people hitting 10,000 calories in a 24-hour window from that moment you wake up to the moment you go to bed, if you hit that 10,000 calories, you're obviously going to be like on a little list that we'll be communicating with. And if we do that, we're going to be working with you guys to donate money to charity. The charity we've chosen is the Butterfly Foundation. It's actually a charity for eating disorders in Australia. Kind of appropriate acting out and being absolute slobs to bring awareness to eating disorders. I think it's appropriate. And yeah, if we do it successfully, if we eat 1 million calories, then we're not going to donate $1 million, but we'll donate
one day. We'll
donate some serious money. So
I'm going to describe the breakfast. This is the healthy breakfast.
Okay.
You get it.
How many calories is it?
1500.
Ooh, that's a big chunk at
you
the
get
start.
A tablespoon of Kerrygold butter, 2 eggs. Very reasonable.
A tablespoon of Kerrygold butter.
Yep.
You just eat that straight off the spoon?
No, you put it into the omelet. You get berries, 1 cup of mixed berries, 3 pieces of bacon, vanilla Greek yogurt, 1 cup, orange juice, 1 cup, Starbucks ground coffee with cream, Thomas bagels, looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know how this made it onto the healthy version, but a Woolworths caramel slice, 80 grams.
That's all for breakfast.
That's the breakfast, 1,500 calories.
That's badass. So, yeah, join us.
So, if you go to the link, we'll send the different meal plans to everyone on that list. And you can decide for yourself if you want to mix it up between the two diets or just stick to one of the diets and rip in, be brave.
And we're hoping that we'll have a specific date. So, stay tuned to the feed for a meetup at one restaurant that we'll be going to, a friend of ours. It'll be called Epic Pizza. So, if you guys want to join us for one of the meals, if you're in Sydney and you're doing the 10,000 calorie challenge, we're going to let you know on the list where we'll be at what time and what foods you can come eat with us there. And this is obviously all going to be filmed, so it'd be cool for you guys to jump on board, jump some of that footage. So, very excited coming up this Saturday, the 10,000 calorie challenge individually and overall the 1 million calorie challenge.
So, mymuscleproject.com/challenge.
Yeah.
And learn how to push yourself.
Yeah. Well, I was even training myself this morning. I was like, there. And I'm like, oh, no, I'm full. I don't want any more. And I was like, that's the mindset that you fell into last time. Yeah. Yeah. I'm gonna need you, Raph, to come through big. Yeah.
I need to step up.
Yeah. Like I dragged you through the mud last time.
I was really not enjoying it.
Yeah. Tried to give up multiple times.
I think I've really learned my lesson. I'm always better at the redos. It's a little bit like the open. So I'm gonna hit my numbers this time. And like I think I said on the early podcast, nothing has actually helped my diet more than this challenge. There were so many like bad foods I was like really wanted to try, and after this challenge, I did not want to eat any of them for any period of time.
That's good.
It puts you off any like naughty foods.
That's good. All right, so we're going to get into listener questions, our favorite part of the show. I've got a few today. Some of them, because they're kind of all getting mixed up at the moment, I'm not actually sure if we've answered some of these before. So if we have, we apologize, but...
Second answer will be better.
Yeah, redo. Redo on the answer. So I'm just going to take one part of this question from Jamie Bent on Fitness. He asked two questions, but I'll just take the second question. He asked, how is the Mad Lab model working for you in your gyms, and do you see it as the only way to go? For those of you who don't know what that means, is we have chosen a particular business model by a Canadian company called Mad Lab Group that we run at our gyms, which is basically, in a nutshell, you can only get into classes through PT. The coach that takes you through PT is your coach for life. That coach then graduates you onto a membership, and you earn, as the coach, a percentage of that client's membership. And now earning a percentage of that membership means that...
Oh my God.
Oh, there goes the cat. Earning a percentage of that membership means that you are incentivized to take care of them, to retain them, to take care of their nutrition, to keep them happy with basically anything that you feel like they need. So that is why we have chosen the Mad Labs model.
Yeah, I would say that it's definitely not the only way of doing it. We really like it for a number of reasons at the gym. One being it gets people to do personal training before they start in the group class. So you don't have people, you know, flapping around trying to do a workout and not knowing any of the movements in the class. So just get through that whole situation, which sucks as the coach and sucks as the other members having those people in class. And then it just allows you to have your coaches build more of a career at the gym, because they don't just like, the only option isn't just coaching more classes to make more money. They can do personal training in a way that still supports the gym, and just make, basically be rewarded in the long term for having more people stay at the gym that they look after, which is what the owner wants as well. Other ways that I think would be really good, really just depends on how your gym runs. So if you're going for more like the OPEX model,
and what services you offer and stuff,
and it's all individualized, then you don't need it. It kind of is really the same thing in a lot of ways, because at those sort of individualized gyms, like one coach has 40 clients and they're doing their programming and stuff like that. So it kind of comes the same. I reckon the only places it doesn't work is when there's really no skill level in the classes. So if you're running a gym where you just strip away all the skill level of being in the class, then people just aren't really sold on doing one-on-one before the class. Because it's like, why do I need to do one-on-one if I'm just going to sit on a bike the whole time and a treadmill?
Yeah.
And it just doesn't really make much sense. Whereas I think this was developed going into a CrossFit-style class where there's snatches and kipping pull-ups, and there's just a ton to learn. So if you're going for the lower skill level, nothing wrong with that. Don't think it's necessary. I think you just need a lower paid coach, more of a cheerleader, rip them in, get as many people into that group class as possible. So it really depends what you're going, but for a CrossFit style, you know, that sort of thing, like a difficult class where there's a group class, but not 50 people in the class, we do really like it.
I mean, that's for sure. But if the gym offers personal training, if there's a relationship building process, an individualized relationship building process, a part of the gym, then it works.
Yep.
But a lot of these group fitness gyms, they're not about that. They're herding cattle. It's like get in, get out very quickly. If the client asks for PT, some of these group fitness gyms discourage it. They go, no, we don't do PT.
Don't allow it.
Yeah, they don't do PT. It's not a good model for them. But if PT is involved, then absolutely it can work. Yeah.
Yes.
And it's been working extremely well for us, and we don't plan on changing it at all. Okay. So, second question is from Steve, I want to say Muirden. It's M-U-I-R-D-E-N, Muirden. He goes, morning boys, got an after show question about setting goals. What are your thoughts / advice on combining strength / power goals with a weight / body fat loss goal? Is it too good to be true to think that you'll be able to achieve both? Planning 100 kilo power clean and trying to lose 5 kegs as well. It's a good question. Now, I think the best place to start with this question would be to think about Olympic weightlifting, because the energy system required for Olympic weightlifting, which is like speed strength versus, say like powerlifting, which is just like pure like raw strength, a little bit different. Training for speed is different for training for like slow speed, powerlifting speed. Now, obviously, there are elements that will cross, of course, but they are very different sports. You can become extremely fast and extremely powerful and definitely not be heavy at all. Yeah, it's almost, they're completely separate. Mm. So think about any sort of field athlete that needs to be a certain weight. They need to keep their weight down, because if their weight goes up, they're going to lose their power and their speed, because the ratio between how much body weight they have and how much force they can produce, how much speed they can create, whether that's them running across the field or them lifting a barbell overhead, they want to try and minimize that as much as possible. Obviously, because some of them are in weight classes, but also because if you can, you know, head down the field with the ball faster than someone else, and it doesn't matter how heavy you are, you'd want to be lighter,
of course,
because the lighter you are, the faster you can travel, right? And probably the easier it is for you to recover and do more volume and repeat sets and that sort of thing. So you actually, you can do both at the same time. Now, maintaining your weight and fueling your performance versus actually being in a calorie deficit, two different things. So these, you know, field athletes that I'm talking about and you know, these high-level athletes, okay, first of all, they're genetic exceptions, but just from like an amateur standpoint, they are fueling performance right up into the threshold that they don't gain weight. So they're, you know, trying
eating
to put
as much
in,
as possible exactly, without getting weight.
Exactly. They're actually not trying to lose weight. So it can be done, but it's going to be tougher. Fortunately, what you're choosing to recover from, so, you know, becoming more powerful, I would first of all do less volume in your training and more speed work. But what you're trying to recover from is slightly different fuel source to what you need to be putting in your body to, say, someone who's trying to gain a lot of muscle or do like hypertrophy or be in the higher rep ranges. So if you're doing more volume and you're breaking down more muscle tissue, you're going to need more protein in your diet. However, if you're trying to become more explosive and more powerful, which is mainly CNS-driven training, you really don't need more than your maintenance protein. When you're in a deficit anyway, you've got to increase your protein just to kind of
stave off as much muscle loss as possible.
Yeah, just mitigate muscle protein breakdown as much as possible. But you're going to need more carb, because carbohydrate is the fuel for the nervous system. And if you guys are listening to this and you think you can become more explosive and more powerful and recover from explosive training or strength training without carbohydrates, you're sadly mistaken. So for you, I would try and be reducing your fat as low as possible, because it's going to have very little to do other than just maintaining your health with recovery from this sort of training. Keeping your protein moderately high, reducing your fat as much as possible, and keeping your carb as high as you possibly can in the deficit to recover from that sort of training is going to be the key. It can be done. I think it's just going to happen a lot slower. Definitely when you're doing your heavy days and your really explosive days where you need to be fast, that is when you should try and have most of your carbohydrates around that time, so that your blood glucose levels are as high as possible going into that session. After the session, yeah, still important, but like during that session specifically, 30 minutes before and then throughout, you want to be like on some kind of high carb mix, so like a Gatorade, or I don't know, if you want to go healthier, I guess like dates and shit like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I would, if you were a client at the gym, I would strongly recommend doing one at a time though, just because you're making it really tough on yourself. I think trying to do both, and from my experience, a pretty good chance you're just going to fail at both goals. Mm. Whereas if you just lost the weight first, I reckon doing this training at maintenance would be way easier and probably just feel a lot more fun because you have like way better energy levels. Whereas like 5 kilos is heaps to lose. It's going to be pretty tough. And then trying to like get stronger during the same time, it's going to be really tough going. And I also think often you can potentially open yourself up to a little bit more injuries, really trying to like push up weights you've never lifted before at a time you've got less resources to recover than ever before.
Mm.
So, I mean, fuck, life is pretty long. I would probably just do one at a time and tick them both off.
Yeah.
Unless it's like a competition then.
Yeah.
Got no choice.
So, I would say exactly to what Raph said. If you are more of an amateur though and you haven't been lifting as long, you can definitely achieve it a lot faster because like you just training will help you change your body composition quite quickly, and then you get the beginner gains from strength. But, you know, if you've been in this game like 3 or 4 years,
yeah,
it's take Raph's advice for sure. Good luck. Let us know how you go. So, should we answer one more question?
Yeah, it's ripping.
Yeah, we'll answer one more question. All right. Let me get one more question, and Raph's going to speak about True Protein, a sponsor of the show.
So True Protein, this is going to be fueling us. I don't know if we're going to need an extra bag of luggage to take all the True Protein to America, but definitely, it'll be worth the money. And this week, if you are listening to this week, so this is halfway through March, if you spend over $150 at True Protein, which is very easy because they have a lot of good shit.
It's like one bag of post.
You get one of their free bags. Free bags are normally like $40, $50. It's like those side carrier bags that goes over the shoulder.
You're not talking about a bag of protein. You're talking about like
a carry bag. Like a gym bag. Carry your protein. Yeah, it's a gym bag. A nice looking gym bag. So they do these promotions. It's probably the best one I've seen in a very long time. You get a free 100 bag if you spend over $150 on the website. And if you use the code MINDMUSCLE10, you get 10% off everything. So you can really spend $165.
Yeah.
And then bring it down to $150 and get a free bag. It's a serious deal. So if you're ever going to buy anything for the website, this is the week to do it. Halfway through March, get a free bag, trueprotein.com.au.
Nice. Okay, so final question on the show. Dino Knight, long-time listener of the show.
First-time caller.
not first time. he said, so I talked about in some of the Activate Nutrient ads that I've been using it instead of a coffee. And so with that in mind, he said, Locke, you said you preferred your second coffee of the day with Activated Nutrients. Does this mean that you only have one coffee a day? Surely not. I don't know what that means. He goes, what's your view on coffee consumption? How much is too much, if there is such a thing? Great question.
Obviously, there's no thing.
Obviously.
Well, we're going to lump this in as just general caffeine, right? Like he basically means caffeine.
Yeah, yeah, I would say so, yeah. I mean, it's
not worried about like the effect of black coffee on our teeth.
Nah. Nah, but you should be, guys. Okay. Wash that shit out with water. All right. So I currently drink somewhere between 2 to 4 shots of coffee a day, which will look like 2 coffees, 1 to 2 coffees. Each coffee I get just has 2 shots in it. Now, if you're listening to this and you're in the world, anywhere in the world but Australia, your coffee is significantly weaker than our coffee. With that being said, our 2 to 4 shots is quite a lot compared to other people.
It is.
Yeah, it's strong. So
those like 15 shot Americanos that I had in America, like it's 15 shots in Australia, you'd be dead.
Yeah. Oh, no way. There, oh,
feel
no
like,
way.
I probably feel like I've had 1.5 coffees here. So well, it's different ball game how you guys talk about shots in America.
Well, when I was on the Active Escapes retreat, this guy that from America that was staying in my room, he was like, oh, you know, I kept getting these tiny coffees and I kept thinking to myself, I'm going to need way more than this because they're so used to so much liquid. And he's like, and then I'll drink half of it. And he goes, I was so wired from the caffeine. He's like, I couldn't like sit still. I couldn't even finish it. So good things come in small packages. Mm. That's the moral of the story. No, but to answer the question, how much is too much? It's just individualized. So we got those genetic tests done. With my DNA and mindset, I could have coffee up to 2 hours before bed that wouldn't disrupt my sleep. But I actually know, you know, that from the podcast we did with Christian Thibodeau, we talked about your genotype and then your phenotype. So your genotype is what your genetics set you up for, and your phenotype is what actually ends up playing out in reality. So like Raf is an extremely powerful athlete in his genotype, but his phenotype, how it's played out in reality due to all the training that he's done and all the sports that he's played, he hasn't ended up being a very powerful athlete at all, even though he had a lot of potential to. You didn't like alter your genetics. You just changed your physiology and your biology through the training adaptations that you created.
When I get to heaven, God's going to be like, what the fuck? I made you, I set you so up. Powerful. You're doing this endurance shit.
I set you up with tiny calves and a huge ass. You're supposed to be fast as
you
fuck.
You were meant to dunk. You've never even got the ball in the fucking hoop.
Oh man, isn't that funny? Like you have like the all the resources, all the tools. You ended up choosing to be like a powerlifter. You know, it's because if you were taller and you'd hit puberty earlier, you would have been a power athlete.
Mm.
It's because you were like short and you just like really young, really baby face. You're like, nah, I got to get jacked, and that's what slowed you down.
Really did.
Yeah, but now you're here, so no regrets, right? No regrets.
How are we on this from caffeine?
I don't know. I just felt like I had to bring it up.
But yeah, the individualization is a massive thing. People are always like, oh, you got to cut off coffee by this time. Like, this is how much you can have in a day. But the individual variance with caffeine is unbelievable.
Yeah,
like,
big time.
Some people just have one coffee and they're like, man, my day was ruined.
Yeah,
like,
it's
I don't
true.
Know what planet you are fucking on. It's like having a bite of a sandwich and saying your day is ruined.
Yeah.
So there's massive individualization there. I do think the amount of caffeine is way less important than the time you have it. So people are like, oh, can I have like a third coffee in a day? Well, I really just think it's like the biggest issue is it's going to affect your sleep if you have too much. And that is primarily going to come down to just when you have it. Because like caffeine has a half-life and then a quarter life of like 6 and then 12 hours. So if I have like 5 coffees, but they're all done by 9 a.m., I generally just sleep fine. Pretty jittery during the day, but then I sleep perfectly well. But if I had one coffee and then one more coffee at 7 p.m., like I would sleep very poorly. And that is, I think, what ruins it. You sleep shit and you wake up feeling like you need even more the next day and you have more and then it's this fucking vicious cycle.
Yeah.
So I would say just chill out about how much caffeine you're having. Have it at a time that doesn't affect your sleep and you're probably golden. That's kind of like the summary I've come to.
I can't really add anything to that. The only other thing would be just make sure when you're having pre-workouts and stuff and other forms of caffeine like tea and stuff that you check how many milligrams of caffeine are in whatever item that you're consuming. Yeah, that would be the only other thing. And it's individual. That's the long and short of it.
The only thing I would add is, if you normally have caffeine later in the day, say you train at like 5, I reckon the best way to stop doing that, because I think it can for a lot of people affect their sleep, is to go to like sugar before you're training.
Yeah.
Because sugar doesn't affect your sleep. You have it at 5 and you train, it's not going to affect your sleep, but it gives you a mad energy boost.
Yeah, yeah.
You just go get like a Gatorade and some dates and shit. All of a sudden, you pump with energy, your blood sugar spikes, you rip into training.
It's better for you.
It's way better. Yeah. And you don't, like 6 hours later, you still haven't got heaps of caffeine running through your blood, blocking your adenosine, ruining your sleep.
Mm.
So if you are in the habit of having caffeine late in the day and you kind of know it might be affecting your sleep, try switching to sugar. You still have energy for training and you'll sleep better.
Yeah, for sure. Good advice. All right. That's a wrap. We're going to finish the listener questions there and get into... Oh, actually, you know what? Speaking of that goals question earlier, if you guys are still interested, and you should be, we've actually had a lot of people decide they're going to join us April 1st for the Training Journal Goals. I think I moved 25 journals in the last week, I want to say. So, that's already 25 of you that want to jump on board a barbell goal. So, if you guys are interested, the trainingjournalbook.com, MMP15 when you check out, is going to get you 15% off. Order it very soon when you're listening to this because you want to have your journal in time for April 1st, which is in a couple of weeks, which starts right on the Monday, which is perfect timing for your next 100-day goal. And I've encouraged anyone with a goal to join us. However, specifically if you have a barbell goal, it'll feel extra exciting. So my barbell goal is to power clean 160 kilos, and Raph doesn't have one yet.
Still undecided.
Okay. So, but look, if you have like some strength numbers that you've been chasing for a while, a squat, a clean, a thruster, a press, but bench press even.
Curl.
A curl, if you guys are, if you're chasing down something like that and you're just like, man, I'm super stuck, I'm unmotivated, the numbers aren't going up, watch my video on how I bench press 140. That'll give you some training advice. But if you have a coach or whatever and you just want to stay more accountable, get yourself a Training Journal book, especially if you're someone that trains by yourself a lot. If you listen to this and you're training by yourself a lot, even if you're training now and you're doing curls and you're sitting there going, you know what, I'm just not that motivated right now, but I really want to hit this goal, the trainingjournalbook.com. Join us. It's like a little online community of people chasing a strength goal together. Okay. We reviewed, and last week we mentioned it to you. So, for next week, we're going to be reviewing the Avicii documentary. So, make sure you watch that before.
Do you know what it's called?
Yeah, Avicii True Stories.
Nice.
So, Losers is what we're reviewing this week. Losers is a series, a Netflix original series. And it's been like in everyone's feed because it's been really popular. Now, we watched the first episode, which is about a boxer called, what's his name, Bent or something?
Michael Bent. I've never heard of him.
Yeah, me neither. Michael Bent. I had seen him though.
Cool.
I recognized his face, yeah. Michael Bent. And I actually watched the second episode as well, which is about an English football club called...
Torquay.
Yeah.
Torquay United.
Torquay United. Yeah, Torquay United.
About to get relegated.
Yeah.
Extinction.
Yeah, they're pretty sad team. If anyone from Torquay is listening, send us a message. That would be hilarious. I highly doubt it. But Losers.
Mm. So, it basically, rather than just focusing on like the biggest names, rather than focusing on like Michael Phelps or Usain Bolt or whoever it is, they focus on still successful, generally sportsmen, but usually like it's gone wrong. Like it probably didn't come gold at the Olympics, which is really cool because... I mean, these people are still really, really good at sport, but it tells, I guess, what is probably sometimes even better stories than the one where it got the fairy tale finish. They're not necessarily even worse. It's just literally the way life planned out for them, which is cool. And those stories just get missed. So, this first one we watched, this boxer, such a good story. Didn't even want to box, and he ends up literally going all the way to become world champion. And they're about 25, 40 minutes. They're pretty digestible. And I loved the first one because it was something different. And it was just not like the same story again.
Yeah.
Like, guy starts bosking, wins, fairy tale finish. Awesome.
Yeah. Man, it was like, it seems like, I don't know if it's just me, but something that's been popping up in my sort of field of view recently is a lot of stuff around like failure is like your biggest win. Like, learn from your failures, blah, blah, blah. It's like a big message that's being pushed at the moment just through the people that I follow. And this was just, it's the same thing. It's the same thing about how in what you perceive to be your worst moment, there's actually always a silver lining that comes out of it. And yeah, like it's actually true. Like, one thing that happened with us at the gym recently, it definitely made things seem really shit at the time, and it's really easy to get down on yourself. But if you practice good self-talk and you surround yourself with the right people, you can come out of everything with a silver lining. Now, give you a recent example. Something happened at the gym and I called you, Raf, and I told you the bad news, and the first thing that came out of your mouth wasn't like, fuck. You know, the first thing that came out of your mouth was, what are we going to do about it? And if you can always take that approach with anything bad that happens, obviously there are times to sort of be sad and grieve and all that sort of stuff. It's obviously, if it's a personal thing, but if you can immediately turn around and go, okay, what can I do about this? Or how can I change how I'm feeling about this? Or yeah, am I really reacting to this in the best way possible? You have a serious opportunity to find a silver lining or find an alternate solution, which would not have existed there before, because that thing is in place. Life is a certain way. That thing is removed. Now you can choose a new path. And if you stay positive, you have an opportunity to choose a really positive, exciting new path. So this show is all about that. And it's just a kind of main stage example of it happening out on like a pro sports stage. I really liked the first episode. The second episode was garbage, but
that's so disappointing. I've only watched the first.
I would just watch the first episode. So good. You get the idea from the first episode. Yeah. So what are you going to give it out of five?
I don't know about the whole series. The first episode, I'll give a 4.5 out of 5
because
it's short. It couldn't have been much better.
It is short. Yeah. Yeah. Well, look, let's just go first episode. Don't worry about it. Just skip the second episode. First episode, unless you're like a mad fan of English football. Yeah, Talk United.
Unless you're from
Unless you're like a Talk United supporter.
Unless you're on the team, you're not going to enjoy it.
Yeah, like I got distracted. I was on my phone. I wasn't really paying attention to it. But the first episode, I was all in. And yeah, I'm going to give it 4 out of 5. Losers on Netflix.
Very good.
Awesome. Okay, just to summarize, guys, before we leave you this week, you have the 10,000 calorie challenge, which is really the 1 million calorie challenge this weekend. If you want to join in, mymuscleproject.com/challenge. And then if you want to pick up a training journal, join us on April 1st, which is 2 weeks away for a barbell goal, a strength goal, or just a goal in general. Grab yourself a training journal at thetrainingjournalbook.com. When you check out MMP15, it's going to get you 15% off. So please join us on that order soon so you get your journal before April 1st, especially if you're international. And then, of course, Beyond Macros is helping us out. And then trueprotein.com.au, mymuscle10, when you check out. Awesome, guys. Looking forward to speaking to you soon and updating you on everything to come.
Good luck with your digestion.
Digestion.